right now on VFN TV, childless by choice. These are what Americans are talking about today. We're going to talk about some of the things they talked about was it cost $1.1 million, they're saying, to have a child in America today. Can you believe that? We're going to talk about these people that are saying, we don't want any children. And they said, this is one particular quote that one man said. He said, it costs $1.1 million to have a child. And that's a lot of money to have something in 15 years say, I hate you. Well, we're going to talk about that today. In addition, we're going to talk about, is the church childless by choice? Is there a reason why there's not disciples in the church? It's because, hey, it's going to cost us something, or maybe it's going to be difficult. And finally, we're going to talk about, what do we need to do to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? How do we begin to have children again in our families? How do we begin to have children again in the church? And how we begin to make disciples? Vine Seminars, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, does God play softball? Hail the size of softballs destroy thousands of homes and autos.
Terrifying storms lasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
So there is we've been infiltrated.
Who do you think is writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and says that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate, to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county-by-county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about a million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you don't write the checks.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Spring Jubilee, it's time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics
abbiamo ricevuto tanto dal movimento di Azusa Street.
So much from the Azusa Street.
Ma vogliamo a voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love of the law.
Per non aver usato.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference. But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the word comes together with the spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster, and I'm so glad you're joining us here today. Joining me just a moment is going to be John Ramos. Can you imagine, I guess we could today, but a time has come in society where people say, and we're seeing the abortion rate, over 50 million children aborted since 1973 when Roe versus Wade was passed. But now we're looking at individuals saying, I'm just not going to have it. I don't want to spend my money. I want to spend all my resources on myself. They have an organization. It's called Childless by Choice. Let's take a look.
You know, there are lots of reasons that people don't have kids. There are cultural reasons, there are practical reasons.
Jonathan Last is a writer for the Weekly Standard and author of What to Expect When No One's Expecting. He says money is often a roadblock to parenthood.
It's become phenomenally expensive to have a child right now in America. When you add up all the costs, it's about $1.1 million to have a child for a normal middle-class American. That's a lot of money to spend on, you know, something that in 15 years is going to tell you that it hates you.
Whatever the reason, motherhood is in decline.
You want to show Mom?
In the 1970s, around 1 in 10 women were childless. That number now is closer to 1 in 5. Kids were never part of the plan when Laura and Vinny Ciaccio got married. Tracy Ellen Kamens and Jared Skolnick felt the same way. Both couples are now members of a social club for the childless by choice called No Kidding.
There are people out there who say, oh, people who don't have kids hate kids. Do you guys hate kids?
I don't hate kids. Well,
My favorite quote is Jerry, the founder of No Kidding, says, I like women's breasts. I don't want my own.
I've been an SAT teacher and loved my students, but I just don't feel the same way about toddlers and babies that everyone else seems to.
But it doesn't mean you hate them.
No, I don't hate them. I'm indifferent toward them.
Why pose the question, why have kids?
I think it's an important question that we ask parents.
Jessica Valenti, who wrote a book called Why Have Kids, says there's a persistent notion that every woman, deep down, wants to be a mom.
I do think we run into a problem, especially when you're talking about women, when the expectation is, of course you want to have children, and not only of course you want to have children, of course it's going to be the most important thing that you ever do in your life. So you're really setting women up to fail in this way when you say they're going to bring you all the joy in the world, and when that doesn't happen, it can be really, really disappointing and devastating.
The childless by choice, Valenti says, are still labeled as selfish when the opposite is often true.
The idea that the only way to be selfless is to have children, I think, is a really dangerous notion and a really dangerous ideal. There's plenty of ways to be a good, compassionate, productive citizen without bringing children into the world.
So let me just ask you all straight out, are you selfish?
I think it's more selfish to have a child if you're not sure that you can be the parent that you'd like to be. And I've always said that I'd rather make a mistake and not have a child than have a child and find out that that's a mistake.
I think we all make selfish decisions. Every time you go out and, you know, buy yourself a latte instead of donating money to the poor, you're making a selfish decision. Life is about balancing the things you do for yourself with the things you do for the world. And there's a lot of ways to contribute to the world other than having kids.
Most people seem to agree. In fact, according to a CBS News poll, only 16% say that people who decide to remain childless do so for selfish reasons. But while not having kids may be more socially acceptable, some fear that a baby drought would be bad news. Figures show that we're below the replacement rate. That is, the average number of babies the average woman needs to have to keep the population stable. The replacement rate is roughly 2.1. The United States is now around 1.9.
Bottom line is, we're just not making enough babies?
We are not making enough babies, sadly enough. It's because anybody who has been around babies would be able to tell you it's a lot of work, and a lot of it is not entirely pleasant.
Author Jonathan Last says a falling birth rate will transform the economy, and not in a good way.
If this continues, what do you think the U.S. will look like?
We'll have an entire country that looks like Florida, with a whole lot of older people who need support, who need government assistance through the social welfare programs that we have, Social Security, Medicare, and we'll have a much, much smaller number of workers trying to support them. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to have a kid, but the goal should be to find ways to help the people who do want children to have them in what is a very expensive and complicated world.
Of course, parents would say there are plenty of great arguments for having children, and the no-kidding folks have heard them all.
Have you had people try to convince you that you're wrong?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're going to be so alone when you're older. Who's going to take care of you? Thinking that somehow children are just future indentured slaves or something like that? It's really not a great reason to have kids. And also just that since I don't know what I'm missing, I can't possibly know that I'm making the right choice.
What do you say to people who say that to you? You'll never know this joy.
Nobody who's known me really well has ever said that to me. So I think they have a difficulty understanding that different people want different things in life, and that what makes them happy is not necessarily going to make me happy.
So who's really happier, family folk or child-free? We asked people in both groups, and a majority, 67%, said people have an equal shot at happiness with or without kids. For the record, Jessica Valenti, who wrote Why Have Kids, has a 2-year-old daughter.
I knew that it was always something that I wanted.
It's an enormous amount of work. A lot of the work, you know, is not a lot of fun. This is, you know, there's no reason to sentimentalize it.
Jonathan Last should know. He's a parent, too. And the Ciaccios, Laura and Vinny, are thinking about expanding their own family someday by getting a dog.
The wines lose so much because the grapes lose so much.
So here it is, childless by choice. We're under the birth rate. It's lower now than it was then, 1.9 children per family. And what we're seeing is, with major immigration coming into the nation, just like Europe's happening in Europe, it's changing just through immigration alone. All of a sudden, they say in the next few years that Great Britain, for example, would be a Muslim nation because of just the people quit having children. All of a sudden, immigration comes in. It's mostly Muslims that come in, and that's how things can switch and change. Well, think about this. Where did it come from in regards to being so selfish that we didn't want to lay down our life for someone else? We're going to talk about that and talk about the church. Did you know that they say it costs $1.1 million to have a child? That's what they're saying here. George Barna says to be able to have one baptized believer, in other words, a child be born into the kingdom of God in America, it costs $1.5 million is what we're spending. Maybe the world is paralleling the church. Maybe the church needs to become fruitful again in making disciples. We're going to talk about that and so much more after the break. Make sure you join us after the break.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there will be a time in your life when someone, something, some event might hurt you so bad that all you want to do in that moment is get back, get even, and take whatever you can from them. I can promise you this, guys. It's never about how much you can take. It's about how much you can give. Forgive them. That's why I forgave that guy for punching me in the street for no reason. That's why I forgave my mother for leaving me when I was a few months old. That's why I forgave my father for hurting me when I was growing up. That's why my brother forgave me for hurting his feelings. want real power, learn to forgive.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Can you believe that, John? It's like $1.1 million approximately, they're saying, to have a child.
I believe that.
Really?
Think about it. I think it's over 18-year period of time, and I think they're including college in that. But it is a cost to have children. No one can deny that.
$1.1 million?
It's a lot of money.
So... That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot of money. Man, your kids live well.
Just as good as Pat.
What's up with that? So this guy's saying $1.1 million to have a child, saying approximately. And he said, as a matter of fact, let's take a look at what he said about to spend $1.1 million on a child. So what he said here.
It's become phenomenally expensive to have a child right now in America. When you add up all the costs, it's about $1.1 million to have a child for a normal middle-class American. That's a lot of money to spend on, you know, something that in 15 years is going to tell you that it hates you.
So you're looking at, you know, the fear of having children and the fear of investing, and what actually brought them about was their parents deciding to have a child. And but the ramifications of that is you spend your whole life on yourself. If lonely means alone.
Yeah.
So if you don't have anybody in your life, you are alone.
Yeah.
So the probability of being alone, if you're alone,
is pretty high.
It's pretty high.
Yeah.
It's pretty high. It's pretty high. But the thing about it is like they're okay with that. You know, childless by choice. And you say, well, good, that's their right. They can do that. And this one particular lady, she says, you know, as a matter of fact, she's talked about making a mistake, that it could potentially be a mistake. Let's listen to what she had to say.
And I've always said that I'd rather make a mistake and not have a child than have a child and find out that that's a mistake.
So your mom looks at you like, oh, man, dog, you're a mistake.
How can bringing a child be a mistake?
Is that something? That's what she's saying.
Yes.
She's like, oh, man, I found you're a mistake.
You're a mistake. I'm sorry. You're a mistake. Can't send you back now or anything. But.
Yeah. I mean, but this, you're, so you're looking at this narcissistic, self-focused, idolatrous viewpoint is what you're looking at. And when you have relationships with people, authentic relationships, it costs you something. Mm. You cannot go into a relationship just thinking it's all about you. I mean, it may work for a while until they figure it out.
Yeah.
This is a relationship with yourself. It's not with us.
This is a one-way thing here.
We're not ornaments hanging on your tree of life here. You know, we actually have a life as well. And having children, I mean, if you are not focused on your children, you will be eventually because mm-hmm. they struggle with it's all about them sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that process.
Do you? Know, okay.
You know, that kind of thing. And, but it's the way human beings are raised up. You actually want them to become knowledgeable and have a direct relationship with God and be able to grow up and, you know, and function in life. And it is a wonderful thing. We, you know, we had a wonderful time with our family just recently at Fort Pickens in Pensacola, Florida, and had the whole crew out there, you know, 7 grandchildren,
oh, wow.
all those folks on the beach. It was just a beautiful, wonderful time with your family. I couldn't imagine if I had their viewpoint, I would have been out there all by myself.
Yeah.
All by myself. But the thing about this, John, the thing that concerns me is not these individuals starting these clubs and being childless by choice. By the way, she's a teacher in the school teaching SATs.
Teaching children.
And she's indifferent towards children. You know,
wow.
I'm just indifferent. Like, you're getting your paycheck from people who choose to get. Anyway, we'll
from let these that go. Little people. These
Right. And so, but the big thing is the church.
Yeah.
The church, you know, Christians that, you know, Jesus said, come follow me.
Mm.
And he says, I want you to be a disciple, which is to know his teachings and follow his teachings and learn to hear his voice and follow him and make disciples. Be a disciple, make a disciple. When you become born again in the kingdom, you're born again. You're a child in the kingdom of God. And so not to have disciples, not to have new converts into Christianity is to be childless.
Mm.
I mean, obviously she was a child and she was raised up into a lady, but now her generation, she's saying for herself, is childless. So the church, you would say, if she was the church, you would say, she's chose not to go out and tell anybody about Jesus because she might reproduce.
Mm.
And besides, they're so narcissistic. They may cost me my life.
Yeah. They may want something.
I may have
something.
To lay my life down for someone and I may have to share with them my resources and help them out. You know, what if they're a mistake? I mean, the same, cause you look same at John, concept. you look at this, that they're saying $1.1 million. You and these people are saying $1.1 million per child. But George Barna says that right now in America, or a little bit earlier than now, it's probably more now.
Mm.
Are spending $1.5 million per child that gets born again in the church per baptized believer. And that's huge. I mean, think about that. That's like, why are we spending that amount of money? Is the world beginning to see their reproduction and family and having children the same way the church sees having children born into the kingdom of God? And when you look at the abortion rate, you look at the 50+ million babies being aborted, not counting the ones that were ended before they even got to that state now with the different kind of chemicals they have, that Bob Jones heard from the Lord that would happen back in the 80s, I believe. And so now, but you're looking at how many people are not even concerned about the ones who are walking with the Lord and that you can abort a person in the Lord. You can lead them astray. You can choke them out. You can, you know, not teach them the truth and they fall for lies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many people will fall away from the faith. He says, plain as day, Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about that, which if you can fall away, you can be misled away. And the thing about it, it's more than just, you know, being a father and a mother is not just giving birth. It's raising the kid.
Yeah.
And you got to find joy and pleasure in it. But the thing I think about this, I think about, you know, they said it's $1.1 million to be able to have a child. That's what they're talking about. It's a lot of money to spend to somebody that 15 years later, they're going to say they hate you. Well, you think about this. God tells us in his word that to be a friend with the world is to be a hater of God, to be in love with the world's ways and doing things, and be in adultery. I'm in adultery with the world. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And if we, 81% of the church in America, reportedly, don't even pick up their Bibles at all, hence, they're not doing what Daddy says.
Yeah.
You know, they're not saying, doing what the Father says. So we're saying, I don't care what you have to say. I don't even want to, I'm smarter than you, God. I don't need to pick it up. And then if we're not doing it, then that's hating him. And somebody says, well, I don't hate God. You know, I just don't hate him. I love God. I just don't like what he says about marriage, finance, authority, you know, big long list of things. But him, he and I are tight.
We're good.
We're tight, right? And so, but Jesus said, no, it's not true, because if you don't follow him, you don't even know him. You don't, it's following the shepherd. And are we seeing the world reflect the church? I mean, the world's becoming institutionalized. They're beginning to think about, we need big government to handle everything. But what about, you know, Brother Ken Summerall used to tell me, he says, we institutionalize our kids when they're little, and they institutionalize us when we're old.
Wow.
You know, you put them in these institutionalized schools, you know, with this learning system, and then you, when you get old, they put you in like a nursing home or something like that. And that's pretty profound. That's pretty good. I would have talked to my kid, put me in. But the thing about it is like, we're reproducing who we are. If we're not, as a church, if we're not thinking, I got to get to the next person and tell them, because they may get saved. If they get saved, they're going to be a born-again child, brand new child in the kingdom of God, and they're going to need to grow up and mature. And it could be a rough journey. It takes them a while to to weed out their life and begin to build a solid foundation. And the only way that it can be valuable to you is if they're valuable to you. If their soul, their life, their success, and this just really blows narcissistic people away. They really think that you are, you know, you want something from their life when you're actually just trying to help them succeed. And God did this. You think that the price, you know, of $1.1 million is a lot for a child. And you think about hate. People say, well, I don't hate God. But you look at the definition of hate. The definition of hate is dislike extremely. Mm. Think about it. Dislike extremely. You know, religious people would quickly tell you, I don't dislike God. I definitely don't dislike him extremely. But I just don't like the way that he talks about my marriage to be. Mm. I mean, really, is Ephesians 5 really part of the of marriage thing? And my parents, do I really got to listen to my parents? Is that really like rebelling against? I don't like that part. And, you know, following the teachings of his son and all that. But me and God, I talk to him all the time. But he tells us he doesn't even hear us when we're in rebellion.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't even hear us. And so you think about that. You think, well, $1.1 million to have a child, if it is that. Well, God gave his son to be able to have a child. He gave his own child. That was the price. His own son's perfect, sinless son to be able to have a children, to have people accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the way for forgiveness of our sins, so we can be children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that's a huge price. You think money's a price? Giving your own son is a price so that you can have family. He thinks family so valuable that he gave his son so that he could have family. And somebody says, just like this guy is saying, you know, why would you want to spend $1.1 million for a child that in 15 years later is going to just come back and say they hate you? Well, isn't that what a lot of people are saying that say they know God? I'm a Christian. But yet they extremely dislike his ways. They resist his leadership in their life. They resist the authority that God's established in their life. They don't pick up their Bibles at all. And the 19%, the 81% who don't pick up their Bibles, there's 19% that do, but 3% of those are the ones that read it like God is their father. And they're going like, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And it's like, maybe the world's reflecting the church. Maybe we need to turn this thing around and us start valuing family again. We've kind of institutionalized the church. And I'm telling you, the world has figured this out. The world has figured this out. You go to Starbucks. You know what Starbucks has? They have a family atmosphere. They have relational atmospheres. They have tables and chairs you sit around.
Pillows.
And, you know, million-dollar drinks and the people, you know, call coffee.
Environment.
And environment. And they're making money off what the church is supposed to do naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be family. That's what we're called to do. Well, if you're childless by choice, you're thinking, well, I don't want to have anything. Realize everything ends with you. And eventually, you're not going to like you. If you don't like people, you're not going to like yourself eventually. Mm-hmm. And God's created you to have a relationship with you. And in the process, family has been, I mean, this political atmosphere right now, it's all about, you know, you and I and socialism and mm-hmm. we'll take care of you. The government will be an institution for you to take care of you. You won't have to work. You won't have to do anything.
Well, how can it serve me? Not how I can serve others,
right?
But how it can serve me.
Right. And so the end of that is childless by choice. So what we got to do is the church, we as God's people, we have to turn back to God. Ourselves become a person that's faithful to our Father, our Father, who are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will, not my will, be done on earth as in, I mean, going after our Father again and begin to follow his ways and then tell other people about it and realize it's a beautiful price to pay. If God paid the price for his Son for you to be in the family, what's the big price of you, you know, you're giving your resources or sharing your time for someone else to be able to love them and help them into the kingdom of God? I know we got to go to break. I'm going to talk more about this. But I know, I just want to encourage you that, yeah, that's kind of shocking to see childless by choice. But has the church made a decision of childless by choice? Got this offer for you, and we'll be right back after the break. Did you know it's partners just like you who partner with VFN TV that makes this show possible? We want to thank you for partnering with us. As a matter of fact, for your partnership of any amount, we have an offer for you. It's offer 2012, God's response to the cry of his people in our life storms. We're seeing storms hit us today from every side, threats against the church, threats against society, threats against our leadership, dividing our homes, dividing our communities. But you know what? There is something that we can do. This is something that we learn from King Hezekiah, and we even learn from the Apostle Peter. We can cry out to the Lord. Today's offers, offer 2012, in this storm that you're seeing every day on your television, let me tell you something, maybe even your own neighborhood, God has an answer for you. God responds to the cry of his people in our life storms. Offer 2012 for your partnership of any amount whatsoever. Become a partner at VFNTV.com and click on partner now. Or you can mail us at VFNTV 6500 Pensacola Boulevard 32505. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's 844-408-3688. That is offer number 2012.
Light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can employees have religious material in open view in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I have a problem at work. I had a sign up on the wall that said Jesus is Lord. While I was on vacation, they took them all down and said that I can't do that anymore because it's illegal. And I was just wondering what I can do because I don't want to stop working there. I just want to be able to display my First Amendment rights.
Sometimes these employers will react because they think if they allow a religious sentiment to be kept up in the workplace that they're creating a hostile work environment, and that's simply not true. The fact that someone, a coworker, doesn't share your religious beliefs is not a basis upon which your religious beliefs are then censored. Now, the employer is given a lot of discretion. I mean, they could say we only want work-related material up in an office. They have the right to do that. Let me refer you to ACLJ.org. Great information on our website and really should be very, very helpful to you at work and get those answers resolved for you.
For more information about your rights in the workplace, visit us on our website at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Deborah from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, which is a beautiful, beautiful area of our country, is a realtor. She wanted me to talk about plan. When I was 26, I wrote down this acrostic, plan ahead. And here's what I said. The P stands for predetermine your course of action. The L, lay out your goals. The letter A, allow time for adjustments because you're going to have to make it. The letter N, notify key personnel. The letter A, allow time for acceptance because change in plans ask for that. The letter H stands for head into action. The letter E, expect problems because you'll have problems when you go for action. And then the letter A. And the letter A, always point to your successes because somebody will point to your failures. And then the letter D, daily review your progress. Plan ahead. It's worked for me for the last 40 years.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch Lady, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. What an amazing thing that, you know, is the world childless by choice because the church is childless by choice? Is that a probability?
Hmm.
And it's just something to consider.
You know,
the context of that. And what Jesus told us, he said, you know, that we're supposed to go forth and to multiply from the very beginning of time.
Man, he told Adam, right?
Yeah, go out and multiply. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What is the harvest of? Children in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're 60 years old or if you're 30 years old or if you're 7 years old and you make a decision for Jesus Christ, the day that you're born into the kingdom of God, you're beginning to learn how to walk as a believer. Walk by faith and not by sight. You're learning how to have a relationship with your Father, Father God, through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're learning.
You're transitioning. Life, you're growing, yeah. And so, thus the importance of obeying what Jesus told us: go and make disciples. Disciple is a follower of Jesus, and so you got to invest in people, help them, teach them, and help them grow.
Parenting. It's basically spiritual parenting,
of course.
Yeah, but the thing, you notice their viewpoint was, when they were talking, it was all about them.
Oh, yes.
And they're thinking, like, how could this child benefit me? And it's, by the way, it's a good thing for them not to have it.
Yeah. Because
they'll be really surprised because the child actually thinks it's about them, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have this battle of wills that begin to go on. And some people do have children because they think it's going to fix something. Or mm-hmm. some people have children because...
Selfish.
They just think that... almost like ornaments on their life.
Yeah.
You know? And then all of a sudden, then the kids have... you know, personalities, and then they have the ability to talk.
Mind, yeah.
And then they're calling you up, go, I need help. It's like, well, you know, yeah, you know. So think about this. When somebody's born from the womb, because, you know, as Nicodemus said, how can I be born again from my mm-hmm. mother's womb? Jesus wasn't talking about being born from a womb again. He's talking about being born into the kingdom of God. We're entering from this lost life into salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, but then we're still like an infant. And if we don't get trained up, we're going to be tossed back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 4 says, by every wind and doctrine and cunningness and wickedness of men.
Yeah.
Man, can you believe that? So, and so then, look around, really think about it. How many people are just trying to get away from family? How many people are trying to get away from their parents? How many people are trying to get away from their children? How many people go to church and what they're really excited about at church is their kids will go off into some other institutionalized areas and they won't be around they're looking for a daycare. Mm-hmm. What kind of programs do you have going at your church?
What kind of videos?
What kind of programs?
Videos?
The thing is, like, do you have any programs at your house? I mean, what do you do to raise your kids? And of course, a child growing up in that environment goes, this is great.
Yeah.
They have real good programs.
Entertain
here.
Me, yeah.
We did camp. We did PlayStation. We did, you know, all these different things, and it's like, wow, you know, we're pawning off. The enemy's convinced so many folks, and there is a war right now in the air that says, you know, that if you're gonna be family, it's gonna be painful, and you got to be willing to know I love God enough, and love other people enough, and my family enough that I'm gonna do whatever it requires. I mean, I'm not gonna leave you. But you can leave me. But I'm committed to. I'm here with you. I'm here with God. I'm here with you. And a family. I mean, even Dr. Dobson said, "This is a man that you might not know. Some of you might know that started Focus on the Family. He is a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and he studied family. He studied, you know, children and all these different things. And he even said, you know, just get through the teenage years. He didn't say there's any strategy. He's just going to get through them. He said in the book, Bringing Up Boys, he writes about that he was had this idea to swing off a rope on a tree, and the limb in the tree was like 25 feet up or something like that. But the rope was 30 feet long. So he ties the rope off on the branch and just swings. And of course, when he reaches 25 feet, his body reaches the earth because it's 3 or 5 feet longer right. than the tree is high. This is things, you know, boys sometimes tend to do. And, but it's just learning life. You know, things just happen. I remember when I was riding on a skateboard and somebody was, I was like surfing and they're pulling me on a bike and I had no frontal lobe. I mean, you know, I didn't understand the reasoning thing, you know, right? Okay. And so I thought, this is a lot of fun. I'm going back and forth all over this road. And I thought, you know, I need my hands to be free. That's because that was a demon attacking me. I didn't know that, right? And so I took the rope and tied it around my waist.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And so I'm like, you know, doing the 1970, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, a little pebble hits the wheel of that skateboard. And it stops. But since I was so thoughtful to tie myself to the bike, it kept going. And I went face first, you know, that's what happened. But face first into the road and just, you know, busted things up. And it was pretty interesting. And that's, you know, you cannot have such a rigid life that people can't make mistakes and things can't happen. I mean, things happen in life. Mm-hmm. Your parents make mistakes. The children make mistakes. You know, but that's part of being family. Sometimes the greatest conversations you have in life is about, you remember when we almost died, right? Like, we almost died. Yeah, you almost killed us. Remember that? Look at you now, serving the Lord. Praise God. I mean, all kinds of things. The journey in life. You know, Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life for us and to walk with us. And he even attempted to befriend Judas and gave it. Listen, I'll tell you what. I'll let you keep the money. Maybe you will not betray me if right. I'll let you keep the money. I mean, that's how loving God is to us. And of course, he ended up, you know, selling him out for 30 pieces of silver, which is the price of a slave. But he Judas came up and kissed him on the cheek. Mm. He had all the power in the world to just do horrific things to Judas if he wanted to. But instead, he said, "You betray me with a kiss?" That's how close Jesus was to the disciples and how close we should be. He says, greet each other with a holy kiss. You give somebody a hug today and they're going like, what do you mean by that? And I'm like, not that. It's like, you know, there's no connectivity. There's no closeness. And the more intimacy is denied, the more it's going to, passion denied perverts. And so now we have a society that's starving for natural affection from people and friends, and that since they don't do it, now they're turning to all kinds of weird and strange things trying to get that particular need met. And I remember when we did the father and son prophecy, the Malachi mandate, that when those boys started walking down this tunnel, we had at times 1,000 out there, but they would form a tunnel. Men would form a tunnel and a tunnel on both sides, men on both sides, and they would walk down the middle of that tunnel. And the boys would, and the men would just say, you know, they'd look at them, they would touch them, they would say, I love you, God loves you, God's got a plan for your life. And these boys, I mean, these grown boys, small boys, they just begin to weep and tears came. You know why? Because they haven't heard that. They hadn't had, you know, a
affirmation, love, acceptance.
Touch, looking in their eyes and really saying, you know, meaningful things. And right before that, they said, would you forgive me for not being the father that you needed in your life? And you know, we shouldn't have to go in the wilderness and set up a
tent,
8,000 square foot tent and big tent of meetings and all these different things just so you can actually talk to your children and move your mouth and go, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing good.
Yeah.
You're doing all right. You know, correction, but, you know, some positive things. And so we need to begin to think about how we live our lives and love our families is how they're going to want to be able to duplicate that themselves. And so I really believe because ever how goes the church, so goes the nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and begin to enjoy the family that I gave them and the family of the church, not just your biological family, but the family of community. When you do that, He says, then I'll heal the land. We'll probably see society begin to see marriage and see family in a totally different light. We'll be right back at this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement. And we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where he is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to just say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV. Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That is just amazing when you think about that. You know, we are going to go in a moment to the year 2000 with Pastor Greg Burns of New Dimensions Christian Center in Pensacola, Florida, speaking at the Bayfront Auditorium, praying. But also, we're also going to go to the September 11th, 2016 event that's coming up just in a
less than a month away.
Less than a month away. So it's the same place, same goal, community coming together to be able to pray and call out to God. And God says, if we do that, He responds to us. And I just want to say this in regards to, you know, being able to learn how to be the church again. We need to learn how to be. It's more than just Christmas programs. It's more than the color of the carpet. It's more than the choir robes. It's more than
family, right?
It is family.
Yeah.
It's family. And we got to figure out how to be family again. And you have these outside influences coming in on your family trying to tell you what you're doing is not right. You need to be institutional with what you're doing. And what we have for you is called, coming up, it's called the Vine Seminar. Vine Seminars, we have them. You go to vineseminars.org or go to vfntv.com, go to events. And at these Vine Seminars, we actually begin to explore the idea, going back to the original tent of the church. And it doesn't matter where you're doing it, what you're doing it in, but what you're doing inside of wherever you're meeting at. The building does not determine the church, but so the people showing up in the building determines that's going to be a church because the people are there. Well, the things that we explore are so encouraging. God really moves in these environments, and it's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be, but it's also not as frivolous as some that are, don't treat God as holy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this in-between where God is, you know, eating and dining with his folks. Jesus ate and dined with people. He spent time with them. The last thing they did was the Last Supper together. It's spending time with each other. He says, if you don't love your brother, who you can see, you cannot love God that you can't see. He said, you're a liar if you say that, which means if you think you can live a life to yourself and reject human beings and reject your family and reject everyone and say you have a relationship with God, John said in the scriptures, he says, you're a liar. It's not true. How you know who you are in God is who you are with other people. Who are you in your family? Who are you in your marriage? Who are you in your community? Who are you in your church? Do you just watch things, or do you actually participate and risk the investment of your time, the things that they weren't thinking about? Well, at the Vine Seminars, you know, we actually talk about this. You can sign up for them, and the details will be made available to you. You just fill out the information. It'll be sent to you. And also, we have Emmaus Road, which we talk about all the time. That's one way to find out how to be the church. It's starting to be his disciple, mm-hmm. which you can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and go to Hello Church, and it says Emmaus Road. You pick the path that you want. But it's just time. We got to learn how to be the children of God. You can't just all of a sudden show up and you never taught your child how to eat, never potty trained the child, never taught them how to communicate, and all of a sudden expect them to function. And to be able to have healthy men, we used to always say, you first have to have healthy sons.
Mm-hmm.
We found out it was easier to raise healthy sons than to men, mm-hmm. as Kathy talked about over Chick-fil-A. And so here we are at the church. We've got to get back to this particular point again. And one good way to do that is to begin to pray like that's going to happen at the Bayfront Auditorium in Pensacola, Florida, on the Gulf Coast. You want to be a part of this. You want to be able to make plans for it. It's going to be Sunday night on September the 11th. The details is available for you. You'll see it come up on your screen. But understand, this is one way to begin it. But once we leave there, we got to say, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be part of the family of God. I'm not going to be childless by choice. I'm going to begin to tell people about Jesus and lead them to the Lord, because 95% of people, according to statistics, will not lead one person to the Lord in America, which means childless by choice, 95% of Christians. So it's time for us to break that whole mindset and say, you know what? Family's good. Relationships are good. And it's worth my investing. It's worth me laying down my life for family. Well, we just want to ask the Lord, that you would end abortion, you would send revival, and send a third great awakening. And let's let Pastor Greg Burns close us out in prayer.
Father, your word says that Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the source of our unity, who has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Father, we thank you tonight that by virtue of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, every wall that divides your people can come down. We thank you that by virtue of what Jesus has done, we are one. And tonight we celebrate our oneness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us for allowing the walls to divide us. Forgive us for allowing the walls of denominationalism to divide us. Forgive us for allowing walls of traditionalism to divide us. Forgive us for allowing the walls of legalism to divide us. Forgive us for allowing the walls of classism to divide us. Forgive us for allowing the walls of elitism to divide us. Forgive us for allowing the wall of sexism to divide us. And yes, God, forgive us for allowing the wall of racism to divide us. We thank you, Lord, that as we believe in Jesus, we are all one in him. And Father, we thank him that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so tonight, we pull down the stronghold of racism. Tonight, we pull down the stronghold of denominationalism. Tonight, we pull down the stronghold of bitterness. Tonight, we pull down the stronghold of wrong attitudes. Tonight, we pull down the stronghold of unforgiveness. And we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we look forward to that day, which according to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, in which John saw a great vision of a great multitude which no man could number, from every nation and every tongue and every tribe and every kindred and every people. Blacks will be there, whites will be there, browns will be there, yellows will be there, reds will be there, Asians and Hispanics. God, we thank you for that great day when we will stand before your throne, and not as a divided people, but as a united people, because of the salvation of the Lord. And we will declare that salvation belongs unto our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb of God, by whose blood we have been redeemed. And now, Father, tonight, we pray your kingdom come. We pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you that regardless of our location, vocation, occupation, education, generation, coloration, denomination, or whatever is our situation, we are one in Jesus tonight. God, tonight, as the children of Israel marched around the Jericho wall, and they gave a shout that shook heaven and caused heaven out of their obedience to shake earth, so that the walls came crumbling down. On the count of three tonight, church, I want us to give God the loudest shout of praise that we can in this place. And thank God that because of Jesus,
yes,
we are all one in him. And because of Jesus and what he's done, the walls that divide us will come down. And he will be glorified. One, are you ready to shout those walls down? Two, are you ready to shout those walls down? One, two, three, give him the loudest shout of praise.
I'm Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church.
I'm Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly. And we want you to mark your calendars now for September the 11th at 6 p.m. for United in Prayer.
We're excited about bringing our churches together, and we want to invite you to join us at the Pensacola Bay Center on 9/11. We need spiritual awakening in our community.
And this is the time to gather the church. September the 11th, 6 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.